on.
Is that the right sting?
I think it was.
It always feels long, doesn't it?
It always feels like we're going to touch the wrong one there.
Yeah, it does.
I quite like fiddle this sort of track pod.
Yeah, I do like the black tie that you're running. I was thinking earlier today, I don't actually own just a simple black tie, which that is neither. That's got horizontal stripes. But
it does have horizontal stripes. It's a lovely tie from Armani. Very thin.
Oh, yeah.
Very summery, I would say. It's not quite the power it tie is. You'd be wearing in an office.
Is it meant to be distressed, or have you just not looked after it very well?
A bit of both.
Yeah, the combination.
I think it
kind of
goes with the linen shirt look and the sort of linen.
Yeah, so Giorgio went one direction and you just took it a step further.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, happy Wine Corner Wednesday.
It is indeed.
It's actually a Wednesday because we've gone
Wednesday,
down to
so
the
we
wire.
We're recording this and releasing it same day, which is kind of a gamble knowing how much cutting usually goes into these things.
Yeah, you can hear the suspense in my voice and the lack of energy probably. It's been quite a tiring and stressful week, but we won't go.
I was about to say, I'm going to paint a picture for the fans here.
Oh, God.
You're looking distressed, mate.
Yeah.
As if you've got some sort of larger issue at life right now. You're quite green in the gills as well. Did you go out last night?
I did not go out last night. I was probably on the tools until about 11:30.
Ooh.
Yeah, woke up about 6:00.
Ooh.
Tools.
And went back on the tools.
Yeah, tools, and then I'm now taking a break. I'm treating my commute. What I'm doing here, it's quite smart.
Yeah.
And we will get into the wine eventually. We've got a glass board. I'll wake up at about 6:30. Then I can have about 30 minutes to myself.
Yep.
Start working at 7:00. And then I just work from home until about, I'm going to say 10, but realistically 11.
Yep.
Then I go into the office. And then like the commute is then like my break. That's my like me time. I can listen to a podcast and do whatever I want to do.
I see.
And then I'm back into the kitchen, back on the tools.
Solid.
And that leads us up to now.
It's great.
It's been a day full of tools.
Well, we'll consider this your second break of the day, hey? And how about doing it with a rosé wine?
Rosé Juan.
Rosé Juan. With a Madame F.
Madame F.
It's got a bit of a weird sort of etiquette there on the bottle. With a frog with a substantial quiff of hair.
Okay.
Pink hair, as you can see right here.
Yeah, okay. Oh.
Now, based
it's like
on the
a pink Marge Simpson situation.
Indeed. And based on the fact that it says Brave Original Blend, I think this is kind of a brave thing for us to do. Not thinking this is quite the...
We should clarify again, it's office wine. So don't expect any stars. Yeah, we're not going to bring that. Right, should we
give it a
should we smell and taste? Yep.
Ooh.
Yeah. Mandarin. I'm getting off like instantly mandarin.
Lychee. All right. Well, I think I'm going to go straight to the taste because this is.
There's something interesting. It's so close to.
I did pour quite a substantial glass for you. I think the wine is actually very close to your nose. It hasn't.
True. There's a sweetness. Oh, what is that smell?
Licorice.
It's almost like a liqueur that I had as a child, which gives you some insight into how I was brought up. But we'll skip over that.
Should we get
it on the palate. It's sort of a nice amber color, actually.
Yeah, not quite.
Not actually rosé. It's actually quite this real orange tint to this.
Kind of golden.
Mm. Anyway, let's stop fucking around.
Yeah. There's no wine taste there. It's just flat.
I mean, that's the epitome of drinkable, isn't it?
Yeah, it's literally water. It's so flat.
You can taste the booze. You know what I mean?
It tastes like Evian with a smidge of vodka.
I think this probably says more about you than it does about the wine.
Yeah. I get your point there.
But no, really lacking on the palate. Almost nothing on the tongue. It's kind
F for fail.
F for fucking shit.
Yeah. I was going to stay a bit more.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there you go.
I was going to toe the line there a little bit more.
No, that was absolutely terrible, mate.
Not good.
And you've poured, a third of a bottle into my glass. So that was... I mean, to be honest, I'd say every bottle that's been produced of this would be a waste of wine.
Yes, rightly so.
That's probably...
A zero.
That's probably... I mean, it's not like it's not actively disgusting, but it's just, as far as a wine goes, it's the worst wine I've ever had.
I think, to be honest...
Even wines that like that taste gross to me, yeah. I would say are a better wine than that.
Well, for myself, I think that, you know, as a sort of undiagnosed alcoholic...
Yeah, sure.
I will go to say that it does have 12.5%, so that is
that's
a positive...
Low.
It's got booze.
Yeah. Well, it's in there, yeah.
So that won't give it a zero because it's kind of the point of wine is firstly something good, taste, smell, and so on.
Yeah.
But you also have got the alcohol content there.
Sure. I mean, it gets some points for getting the job done.
Yeah.
If, you know.
But I'm going to stick it.
If that's what you're going
that's,
for.
That's what a 0.1 tastes like.
Yeah, it's a no, I'm right there with you. It's a
point one.
Point one for me.
Point one, yeah. Don't buy a Madame F.
Yeah, terrible shit.
Fuck.
I'm going to go and absolutely tear the secretaries a new one for ordering that. And
solid.
Yeah, throw every bottle out on the street. But anyway, mate.
How about we discuss some racing?
Yeah, some racing. So we didn't have any, we were just talking, we didn't have any Formula One or two over the weekend. We did get a little bit of IndyCar, but even that was quite shit.
Well, to be honest, I'm not going to lie to you. It is the first time in my career that I have fallen asleep watching an IndyCar race. Now,
is that true?
It is true. I actually fell asleep on lap, I think was 52. Which, on a very short oval, was pretty early.
Yeah.
And now, that may have been due to the fact that the race was boring. It may have also been due to the fact that I was heavily hungover.
Mm.
Now, I'm not going to point any fingers, but I reckon it was a combination of both.
Yeah, I mean, I can do you one worse. So, like, it was obviously a double header at the IndyCar this weekend at Iowa.
I hadn't even realized.
There you go. The first race on the Saturday night, that was at 1 a.m. in the UK.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know how the speakers on my phone are just absolutely fucked.
Terrible, yeah.
Just
dumb shit.
Beyond terrible.
Yeah.
Like, Steve Jobs owes me a big favour.
Yeah, big time.
Whenever he gets back from his holiday. And so my alarm went off, but obviously
your
just...
Your lung?
My alarm.
Oh.
What the fuck?
Yeah, go on.
So I just went straight through it. Woke up at 3 a.m. So it had just finished. And I was like, you know, wake up. I was effing and jeffing.
I bet you were, mate. Throwing some F-bombs.
Looked
there.
At the results quickly. I was like, oh, cool. MAP10. I'll take that. Well, fuck. I didn't see it, but at least, you know, hasn't gone completely tits.
One better than the usual.
Yeah, well, quite. Very unusual, actually, for us to finish in an even number.
Odd.
Yeah.
Oh, no, even. Yeah.
There you go. So, yeah, there was that. And then I did watch the next one the next day, and we were a lap down after the first pit stop, so we were fucked.
Great. So, all in all, productive.
Yeah, I mean, there was a race. I mean, it was shit. The repave has not done that track any favours.
Last
year, that race was awesome with all the tyre dig and all that
Big
kind
time.
Of carry on.
But we do have one very important thing to talk about going into this following weekend of IndyCar.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, mate.
Tommy
How
Fleetwood
hot.
Is on the grid.
Yeah, he's fucking in.
He's
gone, the boy. Hunter McElroy, we know you're listening.
Yeah, he'll be listening.
We know you're listening.
And you know what? We'll be cheering
sicko.
You on, brother.
Mate,
I'll
I'm
be
so
staring
excited.
At the screen, sort of melting every time I see you.
We've got so many IndyCar friends this week. We've got Toby Sowery, friend of the show as well, and we've got Hunter McElroy, obviously, Marcus, that goes without saying, and all of the other regulars. So
Malukas, all the boys, you know?
All the lads. Yeah, no, how good? How hot?
Well, I always thought the Flowers would all reunite at some point, and it's a Flowers race.
What, you reckon we're going to get signed to IndyCar?
Possibly.
Yeah.
I mean,
more
I think
likely
you're probably,
for one of us than the other.
You've probably got a better chance than I do.
Well, I know more people in IndyCar than you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've probably got a better chance than I do.
Yeah.
But hey, look, if anybody wants my signature,
do you
me
reckon
and
James... genuine question, do you reckon anyone would take me on board as a light seat?
I think there's a potential there.
Do you reckon if I threw enough like tourism money at Hollinger, they'd just be like, yeah, here's a car?
Yeah, oh yeah, 100%.
Try not to fool anyone.
We work in formula racing, mate. No one's going to tell me
there's
down
no
free
question.
Money.
There's no question a check can't answer. I know that, but I mean, you know, I mean, how much budget do you reckon I'd need to bring? If you were a team owner in Indy Next, and I came knocking on your door,
yeah,
how much would you want to see in the briefcase?
Zero. I think you're ahead in talent.
Yeah, okay. Come on, play the game.
One whole dollar.
Great, that was a pointless exercise. So we've got
one million.
A million.
Actually, no.
Dollars.
600K. Just because I know you won't do too much damage.
Yeah, it's true.
Any damage to yourself, really.
Yeah, it's self-reputational damage. Oh, good. Well, if there are any Indy Next team owners out there, and
Andretti,
anyone,
I'm looking at you.
And anyone with 600K, do get in touch, and we'll see what we can do. Formula One this weekend,
yep.
Budapest, a place you and I have spent some time.
Oh, we've had great times in Budapest, on and off the track.
Yeah, less said about that, better. But
yeah, yeah. We'll gloss over that. Then just, yeah, not discuss it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Formula One.
So, George won last week. I'm off.
No, Lewis.
Of course he did. Of course he did.
And that Mercedes is looking strong. And it was the one place where they took pole last year.
And Lewis goes good at the Hungara
and
ring, too.
Lewis does go very well there.
I remember he poled it there. No, he won there, I believe, in 2013, his first year with Mercedes.
Indeed.
And he got all soppy and dedicated the win to Nicole Scherzinger.
Did he?
Yeah.
Quite the encyclopedia you are.
Yeah, exactly, mate. I've been around the block a long time. Big old F1. I'm legacy F1 fan.
You should be a commentator. At this point, I don't know why Sky hasn't called you up.
No, I'm still waiting. The phone keeps ringing, but it's not Sky.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. So you reckon Mercedes then?
Mercedes are going to be very strong. I think it suits the Ferrari as well because it's quite tight corners.
Red Bull actually might struggle again.
Red Bull, I think, will actually probably struggle.
Because sometimes they say it's like it's just Monaco with off-running, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And on top of that, I don't think that Red Bull's the best car on the grid anymore. I think, you know, that McLaren's probably the most consistent throughout all tracks.
Yeah.
I think that the Ferrari's very strong and very slow speed. Which,
I don't know if I've ever seen a big result out of... Actually, I was going to say out of either Lando or Oscar at the Hungara Ring. Lando obviously got that podium where he famously broke the trophy a couple of years ago. But
yeah.
I don't know what to expect out of McLaren this weekend.
Let's see. Yeah. I mean, I think it will be quite a genuine good fight for pole. It's usually a pretty boring race, very difficult to overtake.
Yeah.
Let's hope that the tyres come into it, but it seems to be that Pirelli's just sort of made them really hard everywhere.
Usually a bit of weather around? Usually a bit of, so there can be.
Hot, usually. Maybe really? Humid. Potentially.
Are we just going to name all the kinds of weather now? Because I've seen rain there.
I've seen thunder.
Yeah.
Thunder.
Lightning?
Oh, yeah. Usually it comes hand in hand.
Haven't seen snow.
Not yet. Haven't seen
snow at the Hungara Ring. Could that be on the bingo card?
Well, you never know. These days, I mean, looking at the UK, we'd barely believe it's summer.
Fuck
so
me, mate. Honestly, summer's just... Mate.
It's gone out. It came for a couple of days and then
showed
left.
Up about as much as Sergio Perez this year.
Quite literally.
Yeah. Fucking terrible summer we're having in the UK.
No, terrible.
Yeah. No good. Anyway.
Formula two.
At Budapest. Who's leading the championship now? Hadjar on top.
I think he's back on top.
I reckon that he'll be good there.
I think he'll be quick there. One thing though, Jackie Moon. Two wins on the road in a row.
And Jacques Vinet goes pretty good at Hungara. Why do I get that feeling?
I don't know, but it's all Lunay. You never know.
Could have pulled that on
us. He might not, but if he does, he's there.
Jacques Lunay is hot right now.
He is steaming hot.
And when you're hot in Formula 2, you've really got to make the most of it.
Yeah, it doesn't last long.
In every sense of the word.
It doesn't last long usually, so you may as well, you know, grab it with both hands, as they say.
So then IndyCar in Toronto. We were actually meant to be going a long while ago, but
sort of budget problems.
Other plans came into it. Actually, we should talk Formula E after this as well.
Ooh, yes,
we don't usually, but it's the, you know,
it is the season finale.
It's the final blowout. Toronto, quite a bumpy, rough track, can often throw in a few safety cars right when you do or don't need one.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So at least it'll be good watching.
Yeah, we'll just have a crack, really. I mean, that's kind of IndyCar, really. I always say to Marcus, mate, the race strategy with IndyCar, because of the way that you operate safety cars, and I'm going to have to beep that word, is you just get out there, hope the race pace is decent, and the chips fall your way.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's pretty much it.
Like, unless you're like Dixon or like Pelot. A Power or a Pelot, where you just like, you're like Messi in football, you just understand it backwards and you just almost like a sixth sense for it. You may as well just try and be as fast as you can and hope it goes your way.
Pretty much.
And copy what Pelot does. Again, I don't know. I've said it on episodes prior.
Just do the same.
Mm.
If you
don't copy Pelot, you deserve everything that's coming to you.
I actually think an IndyCar strategist's job is pretty easy. Just copy Pelot.
Copy and paste. Yeah. Control C, Control V. Do what Pelot does.
Yeah. Or Lewis, in that case, in Formula One. Worked out pretty well for Max Verstappen. Both did pretty much the same.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone in Formula One, I mean, obviously Lewis had his era, didn't he? But I don't know if anyone in Formula One has had just that essence of non-fuck-uppery that Pelot has.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a joke.
It's just so good.
The bloke, he just lands on his feet and lands on his feet and lands on his feet. He's obviously unbelievably talented. Yeah. That goes without saying. But well, fuck me, that guy's just, he's never walked under a ladder in his life.
Nah, he knows what he's doing, innit?
Too right. So yeah, Toronto, that could throw a few, you're going back in on the wine, mate, that's brave. Could throw a few wild ones. We're going to see Hunter McElroy. If you're listening, get behind and give a follow to old Hunter McElroy. Hot son of a bitch.
Very hot.
And great bloke.
We I mean, most of the fans will know about your undeniable love for Charles Leclerc.
Mm.
I think Hunter...
Hunter's a real side piece
for me.
It's
like your little mistress.
Yeah, he's almost a little piece on the side. He's so hot. And he's coming to his own, actually.
Even
in the last 18 months. It's so good to see.
It's beautiful.
You love to see... The one thing you love to see is just the fellas getting hot.
Big time.
So Formula E in London.
Yeah.
How exciting. Are we going? No one's invited us.
I mean, I sort of got an invite. I'm still waiting for my tickets there.
Oh, yeah.
It's
like in an entourage with the fucking drama with the tickets. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's a big digression.
Drama with the tickets right now at the
Jimmy
moment.
Woods.
I've been trying in many different places. I am usually a welcome member of the Formula E sort of paddock, but seems to be quite difficult with such a tight...
Who have you upset?
I don't know,
to be honest.
But no,
it's a four-way, isn't it?
It is it's a six-way battle.
It's a six-way?
It's a six-way.
Jesus, a six-way down at the docks.
It's pretty good watching.
Yeah, I'd watch that. I think I have, actually. Nick, obviously, Cassidy, friend of the show, he's leading the championship. And obviously another Kiwi close to my heart, Mitch Evans.
Very
right
close.
There, isn't it? Sniffing around.
Pascal Wehrlein right there. And special mention to the DAC. Who's won three races in a row now. The DaCosta.
Yeah, there you go.
DAC attack. And obviously a win taken away in Misano through, I think it was an overpower on the throttle.
That's some really penetrative knowledge of Formula E from you there, mate. I wouldn't have a fucking clue.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, he had a win taken away. With that win not taken away, he'd be in the championship lead. So, yes, I think the Porsches are very strong.
If my grandmother had wheels, she would be a bike.
It's not
relevant, is it?
No, it's not irrelevant. It's not relevant, but let's just say that he's been in fine form the last four races.
Mate, fine peddler.
And, great peddler. So he could be going for championship number two. We could be seeing championship number one.
I'd love to see it for old Cass on the gas, mate.
Well, Cass on the gas is definitely up there, and he's been strong. Bit unlucky.
He's been the consistent man this year.
Well, he's been unlucky the last couple of rounds.
That too. A
couple of mistakes there in Portland, especially on the last race where he was in a solid position and just sort of went off at the last corner. But mistakes happen. Racing driver. I've made my fair share.
Thought you were going somewhere else with that. But anyway, is that us covered on racing?
Yeah. I reckon it is.
All right. So
should we go to a crisis room?
Should we blow the lid on the crisis room, shall we?
Yeah.
Let's
blow it.
Yeah.
Yep, we're in the crisis room.
We're in the crisis room. We're in the bunker.
Solid.
You feeling safe?
Not really.
No, that's just how I like it. Right, the crises that I've got for you this week.
Mm.
So I've got three.
Okay.
First one. Trump assassination attempt shows U.S. in deep crisis.
Yeah.
Could be a controversial one.
Yeah.
We've got Paris suffers an Olympic breakdown, a growing migrant crisis, sewage-filled Seine, bedbug infestation, alienated residents, comparisons to a war zone.
Okay.
And then the third crisis is, it's actually not in the news yet, but you've been banned from Tinder. which is somewhat of a crisis in its own. So, I mean, of those three, mate, which one do you fancy? Obviously, Paris might be quite close to your heart.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, I've got two very close to my heart, really, in that sort of trio of crises there.
Yeah, quite.
I think I'll probably keep a sort of a... I'll keep away from the Tinder crisis there.
Stay away. You want to steer away from the Tinder crisis?
From that.
Wise. And so Trump versus Paris.
Paris.
Paris. All right. We're in.
So Paris.
So there's a whole bunch of sewage in the Seine, which is a big problem. There's a bed bug infestation. There's some residents feeling alienated. I feel like that's just the Parisians being the Parisians.
Yeah.
And comparisons to a war zone, which obviously Paris has been over the...
Well, it has been multiple times, you know? Yeah, indeed.
So I think, you know, make your bed, sleep in it.
Well, I think, you know, when it comes to those kinds of things, Olympic, let's say, games usually are held in big cities around the world, but they do generate quite a lot of development in and around the cities.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Paris is probably the last city that you'd want to develop.
Yeah, or need to actually
need
as well.
To, more likely.
Yeah.
Now, one of the funniest things that I ever read was the 1.4 billion euros that were plunged into the Seine in order to try and depollute it. So
how many euros?
Could have 1.4
okay.
billion, not million.
Well, because I'm just reading here that the Paris Council have assigned a 1.1 billion. Cleanup operation for the whole city. So I mean, if they,
no, the Seine was separate to that.
I know, of course. I mean, but I mean, that's 1.4 billion on just one river.
Well, no, the greatest thing about the 1.4 billion in the river is that obviously it took some major undoing to be able to clean up one of the most polluted waters in the world,
sure.
The Seine. I think if you see anybody swimming in the Seine, they're most likely drowning, not, you know, actively swimming and wanting to swim.
Yeah, there you go.
But the famously recently, the mayor of Paris went for a swim in the Seine and spotted a turd.
Oh.
So.
I mean, again, I'll go back to the point I brought at the top of this segment. You make your bed, you're sleeping. If you're getting in the Seine and you see a turd, you know.
Hey, look, a 1.4 billion, well spent.
Yeah.
But.
It's a 1.4 billion
no,
euro turd.
Bed bugs.
Bed bugs.
Not,
I mean,
not,
I don't. They've had that situation going for a while, about a year now, hasn't it?
Oh, big time.
Parisian bed bug.
I have myself been down the Parisian metro a couple of times over the last year.
You forced me to do it too, as well, which I didn't appreciate.
One thing that we should, and we'd like to remind all of our listeners potentially going to the Paris Games, do not sit down on the seats.
Oh, that's a good. That's actually a good travel. Should we pop a sting for that?
Should we pop
a travel
random
tip.
Sting? Maybe, yep. I think this might be the clap one.
Whatever you like.
I think that was the clap one.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
So don't sit down on the tube in Paris.
Yes.
Right. Okay, so we're beginning our crisis control here.
Yes.
So that's, I mean...
Number one.
Step one, don't sit down on the train. That's actually a bizarrely sensible recommendation from the crisis control.
Step two, don't go and swim in the Seine.
Again,
but that's a given.
You know, that's more of a common sense than a piece of advice.
But look,
but again, just, common sense is not common.
And on top of that, there will be a fair few people inebriated in Paris.
Boozed.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's when common sense kind of goes out the window. So that's why we've got to repeat those things, you know.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that
it sticks
in the back of the mind there. Number three, just don't go to the games.
Yeah, it's going to be a fuck up, isn't it? I mean, the hotels are like £1 million a night.
Airbnb's the same.
The weather might be... It's either going to be too hot or shit. There's no in-between in Paris.
Well, it's just the same in the UK, isn't it?
Also true.
So, just stay away.
Watch it on your telly. Honestly, the coverage is going to be fantastic. I don't know. I'm sure the BBC's all over it.
To be honest, mate, if I'm being honest, anywhere you go... Sporting events, watch it on the telly.
And who watches the Olympics these days, like realistically?
I watched the 100-meter sprint.
Yeah,
that's probably
exactly.
About it.
Every athlete's mum and dad, and that's...
Yeah.
So that's why they're... Maybe that's why they're opening up like all these sports into it, new sports in the Olympics. They're just thinking, well, that's at least another 400 viewers.
Skateboard.
There you go. That's
new one.
I'd say that's another 350 viewers.
Yeah. A
couple of niche fans and you know, mums and dads.
Fair enough.
Because, I mean, even that, if you're a skateboarding fan, do you really respect the Olympic flame or do you just want to, you know, smoke cigarettes in back alleys and do sick kickflips and shit?
Oh, I go for the sick kick flips.
Yeah, exactly. All
I mean,
day, right?
I fancied myself as quite a bit of a freestyle scooterer.
There's actually no, there's genuinely no career that you haven't dabbled in like the faintest form. Quite a spectrum, but
I've been, you know, a sort of a semi-famous poet back in the day.
Mm. Back in the 1800s, that was, wasn't it?
Yeah, back in the 1800s.
Ahead of your time.
I worked actually with William.
Bill.
Bill Shakespeare.
Mate. B-Money, we used to call him.
He made a few fair pennies on his plays.
Yeah, mate.
No, I was a pilot as well for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Famously piloted the first
Concorde.
You're
actually dressed as somewhat of a pilot today, almost. I feel like you're Prince Philip's about to go flying.
Well,
you know what I mean?
To be honest, I won't lie to you. I was part of the royal family as well.
Well, the brown suit as well is something quite, you know, military about that.
Well, as I told you just now, I was the first pilot across the Atlantic in the Concorde.
Yeah, first female pilot as well, weren't you?
That's true.
Yeah. No, great stuff. I mean, we could go through your resume. It's a whole other episode of that.
To be honest, that was the 80s.
Yeah.
We've barely touched
the surface, mate. But, okay, so the bed bugs we've pretty much solved. Don't go on public transport.
No.
Get an Uber, you pleb. And then we've got, just don't go to the games. Don't swim in the Seine.
Yeah.
Is there anything we can do to help the Seine? Like some kind of, like a coffee filter or something we can just bang on one end?
Well, I'd just say don't use the sewage system in Paris, but then I really don't know where you'd go to the toilet.
You can't. Yeah, then you'd end up just having some kind of trouser situation halfway through the dressage finals.
Defecating,
you know,
in the street, you know.
No, and definitely not at the events. I mean, can you think of a worse place to defecate than in the middle of, you know, Mark Phillips is out there, you know, doing it. I think he's dead now, but, you know, his dressage routine, and you just have a big fucking, fuck, everyone's heard that.
Mate, the wheels are fully falling off.
Yeah, this one, it's gone west. Right, so don't shit yourself at the dressage, don't go swimming in the Seine, don't take public transport.
Don't go to the games.
Don't go to the games. Is there anything else in there? A war zone, make your bed sleep. Paris has been a war zone for over 200 years. Yeah. So, I think we've
solved it.
The residents feel alienated.
It's Parisians as soon as they see tourists.
No, we're done. That's a successful week in crisis control, mate. I can't think of any reason why Paris shouldn't be able to sort this thing out from the back end of this podcast.
Yeah, yeah. No, and as a fellow Parisian, I don't understand why the games are there. But
are you a fellow Parisian?
Well,
you have been to Paris and you're French.
Yeah. I think we'll call it that.
Yeah, we'll do that. How are we doing on time? About half an hour?
27 minutes and 57, 8, beautiful 9, stuff. And 28 minutes.
Hey, and shout out to us as well, mate. 5 weeks on the bounce delivering a podcast. Who would have thought?
Pretty easy when you've got work.
What?
And I'm in London.
Yeah, that helps. Yeah, the schedule helps.
I think the schedule is going to be quite a little bit more tough in the next few weeks, but
we
can do it on the old Zoom there, I'm pretty sure.
I'm sure we can figure
we'll find
it out.
A way.
Screaming Meals listeners and viewers know by now that we're a very technically advanced sort of group of young individuals. But anyway, that'll do it for this week. Thank you for listening.
Cheers.
And we'll catch you in 7 days' time.
Yes, thank you.
Sickos.
Mate.
Cheers, mate.
Backbone.